Carol McEntee Taylor, last time I saw you and we talked on the radio would have been in Scunthorpe, actually, because I was there with the bus and you live there or thereabouts.
Yeah, we live out in one of the villages, so yes.
And how's life in that part of the world?
It's lovely, yeah, especially when it's like this. Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah.
You're an author. You write historically based either fact books, which we're going to talk about here, or fiction books, which I know you're working on, and we'll talk about those in a moment's time. And the writing's keeping you well and truly out of trouble. You're busy.
I'm very busy, yes, yeah. It's a bit like being on a treadmill, really. I kind of finish one and then start the next one. But yeah, it keeps me sane. Well, that's what I tell myself anyway.
But where's the space in your head for all these ideas? Or is your work so completely different that actually you can run two or three projects in your head at the same time?
I do that, but also I kind of swap from fiction to non-fiction. Yeah. And that gives me a break from the fiction, so then I can kind of come up with more creative ideas for the fiction afterwards. So.
This is a history of Coal House Fort, and you sent me a note a couple of weeks ago saying, I know this isn't strictly speaking in our part of the world, but there are kind of parallels between Coal House Fort and Fort Paul out there. And I mean, I'd be happy to talk to you about it anyway, because you're a locally based and very successful author, so it's always terrific to chat to you. So why Coal House Fort? Well, first of all, where is Coal House Fort?
Right, it's on the River Thames. Yep. I used to live in Essex, as you can probably tell from the accent.
It's an accent, yeah.
And I used to take my kids there quite regularly during the 80s and 90s, but the fort wasn't open then. And so I always used to wonder what it was like inside. And then the Coal House Fort Trust set up and they opened the fort up and they started repairing it and doing all sorts of stuff to it. And I've been back and had a look, and it was absolutely fascinating to actually go inside this place that I've always wondered what it was like inside. And it's amazing.
The origins of the place, back to the early 1400s, so there's really some history there.
Yeah, there is. Obviously, that was the original kind of earthworks and stuff, of which there's not very much to be seen. The actual fort itself is Napoleonic, rather like Fort Paul.
Yeah.
I think they were called Palmerston's Follies because they were kind of built and never really did too much. But they did fire a few shots, and I think there's a few shots fired at Coal House Fort during the Second World War. Yeah. And they did quite a lot of good work. But they weren't, when they were built, they thought they were going to be used for a lot more than they were, I think.
Well, when the original kind of diggings and earthworks dating back to 1402, they were put in place, I'm reading here, because of the threat by French pirates.
Yes, a lot of trouble from French. Yeah. They had sacked Portsmouth, or they tried to raid Portsmouth sort of several years earlier. Yeah. And there was a lot of people in Tilbury were really fed up at being raided all the time, and they wanted the king to do something about it. But it took them quite a while to actually get anyone to put any earthworks up, and I think they did. And then that kind of, then it all died a death again, and then another 100 years later there was more problems, and you had the Civil War, and then you had the Dutch raiding sort of in the sort of 17th century. Yeah. And so they kept rebuilding sort of little fortresses, and these kept falling down, and then eventually in sort of the 19th century with Napoleonic problems, they started building again.
So the Fort Paul, which you mentioned there, which is wonderful. If you've never been to Fort Paul, you do need, it's only sort of 5 minutes down the road from the Hull ferry terminal there. You do want to go and have a look at it. And that was built in around 1542. They started putting plans together for that. Yeah. So what parallels are there then between the two places?
They're both very much the same. They were both kind of built more or less for the same things. They're both sort of on a river. They both kind of overlook the river, and they provide protection. The only difference with Fort Paul is that there's a lot of Civil War stuff around Fort Paul, which there wasn't with Coal House Fort. And I think Fort Paul was quite pivotal in the Civil War. So it's kind of quite an interesting place locally. But they don't seem to get a lot of help locally, which is a bit of a shame. I think they could do with a bit more support, from the councils and sort of a bit more financial support to actually keep them going. But it's a great place to visit, as you said. Coal House Fort itself didn't really have that much to do in the Civil War. It was more once the Napoleonic stuff came about. But the book itself, my favourite part in the book are the letters from the First World War, because the second London electronic engineers were there. And a lot of them were sent off to the front line.
Yeah.
And they wrote back. And it's their letters, which I think are absolutely fascinating.
How interesting, because you may or may not know, we've got some letters from World War II that we're doing
listening.
At the moment. So are there examples of the letters in the book?
Yeah,
so I didn't find them.
Yeah, there's loads of...
Well, you know exactly where they are. Find one. You can give us a couple of paragraphs.
I've got to find one.
Fort Paul, up here, we're talking about Fort Paul. That's a privately run sort of charity. It's just worth knowing. We were there... excuse me. We were there last year with the bus. And it's well worth a nose around. They've got the Blackburn Beverley, it's called, isn't it? Is the big plane right in the middle there, and they do all sorts of car rallies and bits and pieces. It's a wonderful place to visit. If you've got no plans, I'm thinking about summer holidays with the kids or the grandchildren, you should stick Fort Paul on your list. How are you doing over there, Carol? You found anything?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find one that's kind of got some action or something going on. Okay, this isn't the British Salonika force, which is something quite different, yeah. which we don't normally talk about. This was from a Corporal F.C. Ward, who was attached to the 2nd Wessex Field Company, British Salonika force. There is very little going on round here at present, and beyond an occasional torp appearing and being shelled by our anti-aircraft guns, everything is quiet. We are encamped on the lower slopes of one of the numerous hills that surround us, on which grow wild flowers and plants that are not to be found elsewhere, not to mention the tortoises, both large and small, which can be found on any hill. I just love that because it's...
That's wonderful.
There are some quite graphic ones, which I won't read out because I'm not sure who's been listening, but yeah. some really kind of quite graphic descriptions of war and stuff and was going on and people being killed, and which is quite interesting, but possibly not for...
So when you're researching something like this, you know, you're an author, you love your history, are there any kind of similarities between researching something like this that's very fact-based and the sort of research and work you do ahead of something that's completely fiction?
No, the research is pretty much the same. I like to put kind of factual stuff into my fiction, even though I put it in a fictional way as opposed to the factual way. So my fiction is very much fact-based, and I will take incidences and stuff that's going on and use them in my fiction.
I mean, I noticed on the front of the book there, you give a credit to somebody who's worked with you on the research.
Martin Clift. I worked with Martin on the book about Belawadi, Battle of Belawadi in 1915. And Martin is actually a volunteer at the fort. So we know, and it was his idea to actually write the book because he found some of these really interesting stories about the young guy that fell off the roof. You've read that bit. This was about 18 something, this was right towards before the 20th century. And he was actually up on the roof with his wife and a couple of friends. And she said she was cold. So he said, "Oh, don't worry, I'll soon warm you up and I'll chase you." And he fell off the roof and died. And I just thought, that's so tragic. I'm laughing, but it's absolutely tragic. And that was kind of in all the local papers, so that's all written up in here as well. So it's the story of the actual people who were there as well. Although the beginning of it is very much the history of it.
Yeah.
Once it gets going, it's very much about the people themselves.
And were there any famous names associated with the force?
There's a guy who went out to Egypt, whose name I can't remember off the top of my head, who actually was part of the Egyptology stuff when Howard Carter found Tutankhamun.
Oh, right, okay.
And he was actually one of the people who actually was trying to stop him, I think, because he was working in the museum, so he would have been very much in charge of making sure that any of the antiquities didn't leave the country.
And since they've kind of taken it into a private trust and they've been working on it, it is opened up now.
It's brilliant.
And used on TV programmes. I was reading, Taboo. It was featured in Taboo.
Taboo. Yeah, it was on Taboo and also in Batman Begins as well. So, it's been quite well used as a location.
And it's often used, it says here, by paranormal investigators. Are there ghosts?
I would imagine there probably are. If you think about it, it's a very old place, isn't there? People died there, so that lots of people. Yes, I would imagine
lots of
there
energies
are. It's quite a spooky place. Although probably when you're doing the tours, you probably don't really notice it because lots of people have walked down there. But just going underground and walking through all those tunnels is quite.
I mean, you're lucky, I suppose, in some ways because you know the place and you've got experience of it. But the sort of files you need to access, I mean, the military files, civilian records, they're all reasonably easy to get hold of.
Martin did a lot of the research down there, so he got hold of a lot of the searchlight stuff, and we went from there. And other stuff I found online, and I just kind of added to what he'd done.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we've got to pass me that book back. Not having that, mate. I've only got about 25 pages into it. I need to read the rest of this. A history of Coal House Fort on guard for 550 years. It says here, Carol McEntee Taylor. It's out now and published by Pen and Sword. And aside from that, then, so what's next for you? Because I say the writing never seems to stop for you.
All right. So at the moment, I'm writing a 6-part saga called Secret Lives. The first part, which should be out either at the end of June or beginning of July, we're just working on the cover now. And that's about three different families in England, Italy and Austria. And it starts in 1913.
Right.
And it goes through to the end of the First World War. And then there's going to be a second part, which will be called Deadly Secrets, which will then follow those families through the Second World War.
Cool. And is that it? I mean, is that all you're doing? There's more.
There's a book called History of Women's Lives in Scunthorpe, which I've written.
Oh, it's written.
And that's now with Pen and Sword, and that will be out next March, I think. So
that sounds interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's clearly driven by the fact that you now live there or thereabouts.
Yeah. Originally, they wanted to kind of do all about suffragettes, but there wasn't that much suffragette stuff up here. I kind of looked at it, and then I kind of wanted to get loads of people to talk to me and write their stories, but people didn't come to me, so I gave up on that. So eventually, what I did was I went back into all the archives and the newspapers and looked and found women's stories. And I've written up, found murders, bigamists, rapists, all sorts of interesting things that happen to women, and just basically their lives. And I've written them all up. So
that sounds really good. So when's that coming out?
That's coming out in March next year.
March next year, but it's ready. That's done.
And that's done. That's done and finished.
How weird is that, though, as an author? You know, so that when that comes out next year, that must be like something that's almost completely clear of your head.
And it's like, it is. Then people ask me to talk about it, like you do, and I can't remember what half of what I've written. I have to have a quick read through it, you know, just to see.
Carol, lovely to see you. CarolMCTBooks.info is the website. Yeah. CarolMCTBooks.info. Or I can put you in touch with Carol if you need to talk to her. Because I'm guessing you go out with the local history stuff particularly. I'm guessing you go out and do talks, do you?
I can do. I haven't done at the moment. But I've done the odd one, but I don't do that much. But yeah, but lovely. I can do. Yeah, that's great. Thank you for inviting me.
Good luck with the Cole House Fort book. Because what I've read so far and the bits I've flicked through for research for today, really, really interesting stuff there.
I really enjoyed writing it. It was fascinating.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much.
All the best.
Thanks.